On round two today, let's say good morning to Mike Benedictson, the program director at News Talk 1010. Broadcast student Max Farber's decided to get a practical education, so he's on the panel. Amanda Galbraith is here from Navigator Communications, and Evan Solomon from The Evan Solomon Show, which you can hear at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Happy Monday, everybody.
Happy Monday.
Not so happy if you need
happy
to gas
Monday.
Up the car. Mike Benedictson, I was driving around this weekend with half a tank, so obviously I'm going to have to fill up eventually, and thinking, how did we ever get to a $1.39?
I know. I was in Montreal not that long ago, and it's like 10 cents more there, if not more than that. It's, yeah, I still remember when we were like freaking out that it was going to a buck, and everyone being like, forget it. If it's going to like $1.05, I'm leaving the car in the garage and blah, blah, blah. And now, you know, I don't even look at the price, to be honest with you. It is what it is. I know it's going to cost me somewhere around $80 to fill my tank, no matter what kind of car I'm driving. So it's just like, it is what it is for me. I can't live without a car. I have a young daughter. I need to take her from A to B to do all these types of things with her. So public transit is just not an option for me. So, you know, that's that. I hate to use this old cliche, but that's the cost of living in a big city. There's going to be expenses that cost you a S ton of money, but it is what it is.
Evan, do you see it becoming an election issue?
I do. Gas prices always are. And then people try to figure out what it is. I mean, there's so many factors as we all turn to Dan McTay, Gas Buddy, to figure it out. One, there's a lot of tax on gas. Two, the pipeline issue is going to come up because Canadians sell gas to the oil to the United States at a massive discount. That's an impact. There's the fact that there's collusion essentially among the refiners who all the gas companies buy from. But look, people are going to change their driving habits, and those kind of issues politically are going to come up. What kind of car you drive, the size of car you drive, and then the rise of the electric car. Look, Tesla's a revolution for a reason. The battery car and the electric car is coming. And all of a sudden, people who would never talk about a green car are going to say, geez, you know, at $1.35 a liter, I got to think about it.
And the prediction is it's going to continue. It's going to hold steady this week as we go into a long weekend where a lot of people are driving, and it's going to continue to rise during the summer. Highest gas has ever been in the GTA is $1.46.9 in the summer of 2008. Amanda, are you changing anything?
So I don't own a car. I used to and got rid of it a couple years ago and got a bike. But my boyfriend does, and we drive frequently on the weekend. So probably not. Honestly, we use it for errands and that kind of stuff. I think I'm fortunate that way. But I do. My whole family drives to work, to and from. So a lot of people, I think, in Toronto, the GTA, and frankly, in the province, are in the same boat. So I do think it'll be an election issue for sure.
Max, is this a worry for you? Do you have your own car?
I do not have my own car, but I am lucky enough to take my parents' car to school. They are very happy to have me take that. And the thing is,
you have to gas it up.
I have to gas it up. That is my responsibility. So, you know, I think we took having gas under a buck for granted because it seemed like it was going to be here for a while. And now I'm driving past to Petro-Canada and it's pretty much $1.40, which is terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, though, you have to put it in perspective. I mean, what's the difference you're going to pay? Call it $5, at most $10 that you're actually going to, you know, be coughing out more. Big deal. You know, you still see the lineups at the Starbucks where you're going to spend $12 on a coffee, or you're going to go to the movies. I mean, everything in life costs. And let's not pretend that all of a sudden these costs are double or triple or quadruple what you were paying. I'm not paying double what it costs to fill my tank. Yes, maybe another $5 or $6. But at the end of the day, I'm going to find that $5 or $6 somewhere else. The other issue that is compounding this is, other than a Tesla, go and try and buy an electric vehicle. It is impossible. The wait lists are 6 to 12 months to try and get an electric vehicle.
Even for like a Chevy Volt?
Yes.
Wow.
A friend of mine, his father just bought one. And I said, oh, great. When are you picking it up? And he's like, the wait list is 8 months. So, again, we need to ramp up the manufacturing of electric vehicles. But still, John, for $5 extra, let's not freak out.
But just two things real quick. I'm with you, Mike, on one thing. People will go, they say, oh my God, $1.35 for a liter of gas. And then they go to pin, they go, yeah, I'll take a bottle of water, half a liter, $1.50. Okay, yeah. Water. So we pay more for water in a bottle than we do for gas. By the same token, this could add up to $700 a year for the average family at these prices extra than they usually pay. That's real money. And that becomes politics.
And of course, in the long run, you can always save money on a Kinetico home water filter.
Well done.
We talked not long ago in this half hour, as a matter of fact, with a woman whose 12-year-old daughter was attacked by a dog and their puppy, 8 weeks old, was killed by the dog. But Lana Novikova says she thinks it's a bad example to destroy the dog that did the attacking. She'd like to find a way to wrest it away from its owner.
I think we need to give better example to our children that we don't need to be brutal in response to brutality.
All right. Does that make sense to you, Max? I mean, this is clearly a violent dog, and I hate putting down dogs, but if the dog's been trained badly, then that's the dog you got.
I would agree. I'm a dog lover. I used to have a dog myself, and to hear what's happening with this, it's horrible. Because you see dogs as such an innocent, loving, furry little friend, and then to hear something as traumatic as this, I respect Lana for, you know, wanting to look at the brighter picture of it, but it's just, you don't want this to happen again. And I feel like keeping the dog alive, unfortunately, you kind of run that risk.
Yeah, Amanda, if you see the gash on her daughter's arm, some people are texting in and saying, what a horrible mother. How could she allow a dog to do that to her daughter and then worry about the dog?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a dog owner, and I don't take my dog to dog parks because I think they're actually like a terrible place for animals. It's a very false setting, and dogs are animals at the end of the day. They're going to react. They're going to bite. I actually kind of hear this woman a little bit, though, because I've seen perfectly normal dogs. They get freaked out or stressed, and all of a sudden they bite. That's what they do. It strikes me that the way this owner behaves seems very irresponsible. So I would imagine this dog itself is probably in a bad home. So I think they can be rehabilitated. But if it stays in the current situation, I do think they should take some more drastic measures.
I'm sorry. I have a dog. Put it this way. I have a dog, and I take my dog to dog parks. But if my neighbor's dog was that dog, and I'd seen that it bit the kid like that, and it had killed another dog, and then that dog was just running around the neighborhood. No way. I'm sorry. I love dogs, but put that dog down. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want it in the neighborhood. It's attacked a kid badly. And, you know, it's attacked the kid's arm. It could easily have blinded the kid, attacked the kid's face. I'm sorry. That dog has to be put down. It's a dangerous dog.
All right, Mike, you've got a smallish dog and a daughter. What would your stance be?
I'm with Evan on this one. You know, I understand the mother's point of view that, you know, you want to try and teach your kids lessons, but I think there's also a lesson to be had that when you do bad things can happen to you as well. And if in this case, if a dog attacks your kid, that to me is a no-brainer. See you later. I mean, I'm happy to send the dog up to a farm somewhere as opposed to euthanizing it, but at the same time, I'm with Evan. If this dog was running around my neighborhood and attacked kids, I would not be happy.
Let's stay with the animal kingdom for $400. A family in the Netherlands gets out of their car to commune with the cheetahs. And perhaps not surprisingly, they are chased by the cheetahs. All of this was videotaped by the people in the car behind them. You can see that on our Facebook page. Mike, you know, if you do stupid things happen.
Yeah, I mean, and I would imagine as in, you know, if you've ever been to some of these animal parks where you drive your car through it and so on, there's signs everywhere that say, do not get out of the vehicle, like don't even roll down the windows, don't engage the animals, et cetera, et cetera. So it's pretty evident that this family was just being ridiculous and saying, listen, you know, first of all, we all learn at a very early age that the cheetah is like the fastest thing on the planet. Like, did you think you were going to outrun this thing? I mean, seriously, this is not going to end well for you and your family. Stupid. Sorry. I think whatever happened to them is just cause.
Yeah, the only thing I feel bad about, Amanda, is that there's obviously a kid who's too young to know any better. And, the people grab the kid and throw the kid into the back of the car. But I'm on Team Cheetah.
Yeah, same. I also am with Team Cheetah and Team Darwin. This is a bit ridiculous. Also, who's in the car behind them and is, like, calmly videotaping the whole thing? Like, at least I'd lay on the horn or something like that. Yeah, no, I remember going to this African Lion Safari or whatever in London area, and there were monkeys in the car in front of us, like, ripping the car apart. I think maybe it's time we just generally get rid of the bizarre safari in the middle of Ontario that, like, destroys cars.
Well, the baboons. That was the highlight of a school trip would be the baboons getting on the front of the school bus. Let's listen. This is the people behind them who were videotaping.
Oh, het kind. Nee. Jezus.
Nee.
Nee, Jezus. Nee, nee, nee. Doe normaal, man. Jezus. The f***. Die auto, mensen. Kom op. Wat erg.
I love how in any language, like, the curse words are always the same, no matter what.
Is there anybody losing any sleep over the whole Doug Ford, I like your smile remark at the debate? Let's get a younger voter's impression here, Max.
I think I know who's definitely not losing sleep about it, and that's going to be Ford supporters. Because the way I see it, you know, if Donald Trump can get away with saying half the things he said, something like this that Ford is saying, they won't even care.
But yeah. Let's not pretend this is a sexist comment. This is simply, and I think in the initial debate, he was uncomfortable. He turned to her. He was trying to gather his thoughts, and she had this stupid grin on her face. And he said, oh, that's a nice smile, and she responded. And now he's just keeping up with the kind of fun of it. I'm not a woman, but I don't see it as being a sexist thing.
I'm a woman, and I talked about it the next day, and I was on a panel here with three other females. None of us thought, across the political spectrum, thought this was an issue. I watched the debate, and I watched it on Twitter that night, and all of a sudden, like, the liberal press office starts this outrage machine about, oh, this is sexist, oh, what? It's not. He was uncomfortable. And, like, I actually think it does a great disservice to other women when we call out stuff like this, which is not true, and in fact, there's actually real incidents that are problems. So, like, let's call it what it is. He was, like, uncomfortable. He made a weird joke, but, you know, she came back, was totally fine, until all of a sudden they decided to get some media traction out of it.
Yeah, it does amuse me, Evan, that Doug Ford over the weekend on This and Other Files was complaining about his opponents playing politics.
Yeah, this election is comical. You take the low road and then pop, you're on the high road and then back down to it doesn't matter. The smile joke is very, it's awkward, it's weird. I think the reason it's getting so much attention is nobody really gets it. It's just sort of a strange thing to say. It's a moment of awkwardness that I don't think rises to the level of anything more than a passing moment. But the election is starting to find its shape here, right? They're talking about coalitions between Andrea Horvath and Kathleen Wynne, which is real dangerous if Andrea Horvath hopes to get traction, already talking about teaming up with the Liberals. But I know that there's that anything but Doug Ford movement. But this election is starting to find its shape, and Doug Ford's got to be careful now that he has to put forward those solid policies that people can understand, because the scrutiny on Ford is going to increase. The smile is just one indication, and it will go to his policy. So he's starting to have to withstand a bit more scrutiny.
That's our time. Thank you very much, everybody.